Today's the last day of the series that's entitled, If I Die Before I Wake. And you have two outlines. Start on the back of your bulletin in green, and then we'll move to the inside of the bulletin to the fallout. So, what happens 1 minute after you die? And why is it that I want to talk about life and death? And basically, I started talking about death first, and then next month I'm going to talk about life. And it's because I have some questions, and I'm looking for God's wisdom. And it all stems from my stem cell infusion and chemotherapy that I thought that I was ready to be done and ready to die. And I started a process before I went to Texas to do that, to get things in my life in order. But because of time management and procrastination and some other things, I didn't get it done. And when I was really sick and thought that I might die, I wasn't peaceful. And then I was the one who got to be with my mother-in-law when she left Earth. And, you know, there was some times in her passing that she struggled. And I began to ask God, well, is there a way to be prepared so that when you get to these last moments, you're ready? And so I have some questions, and the reason I want to lead you through this is because I love you. I really care about you. I really love you, and I want your life to be as good as it can. And when you leave, for it to be as peaceful and gracious as it can, and to make it as easy on those you leave behind. I've told you before, I never really intended to be a pastor. It wasn't what I thought I was going to do with my life, but it's clear that's what the Lord wants me to be doing now. And in that role, I've had the opportunity to watch a number of people leave and be with a number of families when they do that. And the people that have their things together, it is so much easier on the family that you leave behind. And the people that don't have their things together, it's really hard for the people that you leave behind. So, I said that I love you. If you love the people that you're going to leave behind, get your things together. Now, if you want to make their life miserable after you're gone and really make them suffer, then don't get your stuff together. But it's really up to you. Now, my goal is to understand this and really live life. When we do the 30 days left, it's not about doing all the crazy stuff like Tim McGraw says, skydiving, riding the bull, and getting all that goofy stuff done. It's really living life, an abundant life that Jesus promised us and provided for us that oftentimes we don't recess and access. But living life to the full and having things prepared so that when you leave, it's peaceful. So, do you believe you're really living? And do you have your stuff ready if you were to die? There's no guarantee that you're going to make it home from church alive. Now, we live life like we're going to live forever and we got plenty of time to get this stuff done. But in the practicality of life, it's extremely fragile. Extremely fragile, and it could end at any time. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow again before you as Father. We ask the anointing of your Holy Spirit on each one of our individual lives, that you would touch our souls and spirits and lead us into a path that would glorify you, honor your Son, and that would be a gracious living gift to the people we're with now and the people that we will all leave behind. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if I die before I wake, I'm going to do a short review, so this is going to go fast. April 8th, I talked about 1 minute after I die, and the first blank on your outline on the back of your bulletin says, death is certain. Death is certain. Everybody's going to die. except for the few that are on earth when the Lord comes back. That's a totally different deal. But you might as well plan on dying. Death is certain. Okay? At the moment that you die, your eternal destination is irrevocably fixed. You can't change it after you're dead. You can change it before you're dead. So what happens at death? Number one on your outline, at death, your spirit and your soul separate from your earthly body, which the Bible calls your tent. So your spirit and soul separate from your body. Your body you leave behind, but the spirit and soul go to a new housing. Not a tent anymore, but a permanent dwelling place. So, are you prepared to die? Are you ready? Where your permanent home is located is based on decisions you make now. You can't change it after you die, but you could now. Are you one here who seeks and fears God? If you're listening to this on the World Wide Web, are you an individual that seeks God in a diligent pattern, consciously, and you respect the awesomeness of who He is? You fear Him and reverence Him. Is that who you are? Are you one who's put all your faith and trust in Jesus, His anointing life, His substitutional death and His resurrection? Are you one of those people? And then, has your faith shown up in acts of love and service? Once you become born again, once you become anointed with the Spirit of God, your life should change. You should become more loving and more service-oriented in ministering to other people. So, number two, those who have trusted Christ go immediately to God's presence. So the presence is the blank number two. And then in August 15th, I talked about hell no. Why did God make hell? Well, why? Because He's holy, He's righteous, He's just, and He's loving. That's why He made it. It's because of who He is. Now, the good news is, if you've trusted the goodness of Jesus Christ and your sins are forgiven, you've had nothing to worry about, nothing to fear when it comes to hell. On the other hand, if you're rejecting Christ, or if you're living life on your own, you better listen up. Because hell is not a party. So, why does hell exist? Number one, it exists for God to deal righteously with Satan. Satan rebelled against God, and to deal with him righteously, he must be punished. He must have eternal punishment for his rebellion. So why does hell exist? Number two, it's for God to deal righteously with the unbeliever. What sends you to hell is that you do not believe in the work of His Son, Jesus Christ. You're born in sin, but it's the unbelief, the unwillingness to submit and surrender to Jesus Christ that gives you the eternal suffering of hell. So, why does God not want anyone to go to hell? Because He's holy, He's righteous, He's just and loving. He really doesn't want anyone to go there. He's made every provision for the individual not to go. So, August 22nd, I talked about heaven's yes. So, are you one of the ones who gets to live in heaven? Let's think about that for a minute. If you're born in Adam, you inherited an identity, and your blank on your outline is sinner. That's who you are when you're born. And you're an enemy, is your second blank, enemy of God. And you're on your pathway leading to death, eternal separation from God, hell. That's how you're born physically, spiritually into this world. When you believe, that's your next blank, believe, that Jesus took the punishment for your sins, God transfers you out of Adam and into Christ. It's just like an electric transfer of funds from one bank account to another. Or, if you're still like me, you take the paper to the bank and write your name and sign your name and have them transfer it. But you transfer, you are transferred from Adam into Christ. Now, when you receive Christ's eternal life as your new life, that's what happens. You receive this new eternal life. And a small part of that gift, just a smidgen of that gift, is the truth that you go get to live in heaven soon. So, are you one who has Jesus' eternal life?